Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net for the 15th of November, 2021. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. And if you're not familiar with SDF, oh wait, who am I kidding? Everybody in here knows about SDF. You've all been here before. So I'm going to skip that boilerplate this week. I will pause, though, to allow you to disconnect if you don't want to hang around.
Wayne, don't give them that option. We need the more the merrier.
I didn't quite copy. What did you say before, the more the merrier?
Don't give them the option.
Oh, I see what you mean. Huh. Well, you know, I don't think I have ever witnessed a station that was connected who disconnected during that pause. So, but it's something that we do. I know for a fact that if a station connects to a conference, you know, through a local repeater, it can be very difficult to disconnect from that conference if the conference is very busy. You have to wait for the right moment when everybody is silent and get in there and hit that pound key on your mic to disconnect. Otherwise, you're sitting there for the duration. And as you say, perhaps that's a good thing, but Well, I think let me get back to the script here. Let me reset. Actually, my topic for this week, that might be kind of related to that. So anyway, I am Alpha Bravo 9 Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois. My SDF username is JWH. This net meets it. Yeah. You guys know all this already here. So let me skipping down here. Blah, 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 blah. So I can see AB3KC, N4RNW, VK6BQQ. And I do not see the ham conference. I do not see any other conferences connected. So it's just us chickens here today. So I had a topic. It just occurred to me, actually, in the few minutes before the net. The topic is repeater policing. I'm sure you are all familiar with listening to local repeaters. You might have repeaters that are owned and operated by an individual amateur or perhaps by a local club. I'm not sure what other possibilities there might be. Maybe like an Aries group or some other, like a CERT group or, you know, some other kind of organization. Oh. Looks like I timed out. All right. So where was I? Right. So the question arises, what do you do if the users of the repeater are unpleasant or abusive? Perhaps you have a club repeater, and there might be actually written rules about what's allowed and what's not allowed. And a ham who violates those rules might be banned by the club officers or by the... there might be a committee in control of the repeater who would do it. Anyway, that's what the topic is.
Welcome to EchoLink Node 9229 TechLink.
I'm here.
Am I back? I think I am. I don't know what the heck happened there. My connection dropped and repeated attempts to reconnect came back with timeouts. Did TechLink remain up for you guys there? Did you notice any problems with it there, hey Reg?
No, negative. I talked to ABC-KC Colin and I talked to Harold and we were fine in that dropout, so I'm not sure what happened to you.
Okay, well, first time that's ever happened, I think. So hopefully I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that it doesn't happen again today. So anyway, the topic is how do you maintain proper decorum and courtesy, etc., on your local repeaters? If you have some experiences with it, please let us know. And I think... no, it's gone. I think for a brief moment there I saw the ham conference was connected. Yeah, but it's gone now. Oh, wait a minute. No, I imagine that. I saw Ham in another pane of the Echolink app here. That's what made me think. So, no, it's just us, but I see that Michael and Robert, we're getting some new stations here. So that was Michael, DL6MHC, and Robert, VK2DY. And for their benefit, I'm going to recap this week's topic. It's repeater, policing, perhaps? How do you keep things civil and courteous and on topic, perhaps, on your local repeaters? Do you have written rules? Do you have, like, club members, club officers, perhaps, who are literally the repeater cops who can ban uncooperative hams from using the repeater? Or maybe you're just lucky and all of your local users are really good people and they never make a fuss. So anyway, that's the topic, keeping the repeater civil. What's your experience about that? So, starting with, I had my list here. Okay. So I think the first on my list would probably be VK6BQQ.
VK6BQQ returning. Yeah, repeater policing. Well, it is a job, that's for sure. You try and pick and choose, of course. Over the years, we've had pirates and folks that get on there drinking and carrying on and disrupt the whole thing. I found when I was in Hamilton, Ontario, we had a local couple of repeaters connected, and we had that situation. But in the background, it's called fox hunting. And you actually find out, and we have traced the source of the problems, and we had the police knock on their door and confiscate their equipment.
Oh, wow, you can do that. I don't think that would fly down here. I mean, we could report such a ham to the FCC, and the FCC would probably want to confirm our observations with their own monitoring capability, and then it would be up to them to, it would probably start out by sending mail, and, you know, it would be a long, drawn-out process that would eventually result in the bad cases, in fines and lawsuits. Actually marching in and confiscating radios, that I don't think I've ever heard of that happening down here. Interesting. All right, thank you, Reg. Let's see who's next on my list here. Harold, N4RNW.
Hey, good evening, Wayne, Reg, and all the rest. I haven't been on the local repeaters here in probably 20 years, even though I've got handhelds and I listen sometimes. I'm going to start getting back into it, but I remember when I first got my license back in the mid-80s down here, there was an officer of the local ham club who was a real crab apple. What do you say? What do you do? You just sign off and say, talk to you another day when you're feeling better. I don't know. Other than that, every person I talk to has been courteous and filled with proper etiquette. So I don't have anything constructive to add to that other than what I've said. Hope everybody's having a good night. N4RNW, Florida.
Okay, thank you, Harold, and well, congratulations on having a nice civil community down there. I'm not saying that we are a hotbed of evil hams up here, but we've had some issues, and it's something that's on my mind. And by the way, it's, I think, a couple of degrees above freezing right now, and it's on its way down to a few degrees below freezing tonight, so this is one of the colder days so far. Winter is definitely around the corner, although Tuesday and Wednesday the forecast is for 60 degree highs. So looking forward to that for some final outdoor activities like, lawn and house preparations and so forth. So, okay, so thank you, Harold. Next on my list is Collins, AB3KC.
Hello, this is AB3KC, Collins. I'm in Virginia. On SDF, my username is Dirty Rig. And as far as repeater etiquette, so one of the things that interests me is the different things that happen in different parts of the U.S. I spent 3 or 4 years out in Washington State, and I noticed on the 2 meter weekly nets, they would ask stations to clear. They would say, "Clear, please clear your call." And they would put them on the spot and say, "We need you to clear your call during a net," which was something new I'd never seen before, and I was kind of curious why they were so focused on that. But I didn't make much into it, and then came back here, and I've been doing net control here for about 3 years. And just recently, I think out of the pandemic, we had a whole bunch of new technician licensees, which is awesome. But one thing they have trouble with is dropping their call sign at the end of their transmission, which I guess you might call that clearing your call. So I wasn't really prepared to like challenge the operators and make them do it, but then we did make an announcement at the beginning of one of our nets reminding people that they do have to ID every 10 minutes and to please make sure at the end of your transmission you ID, because the rounds might take more than 10 minutes to get back to you again. Then on the very next net, I was running net control, and we did have one station who's just really bad about it. So I would just keep talking to that station and having them reply back until I sort of hinted at the fact that we needed them to sign their call sign. Let me drop it real quick here. Okay. And so, and then week after week after week, it's just this one new licensee who's really not, he just struggles to throw his call sign out there. And so that's one thing we do. And then lately they've just been telling him that we need you to, you know, announce your call sign for us. What else? Politics is obviously not something we're supposed to really get into. My brother in North Carolina said that in the morning on his local repeater, that was a big problem over the past 3 or 4 years here in the U.S. And I think that repeater just kind of, it was acceptable, I guess. I don't know. He was really frustrated with it. And then finally, my other club, the Vienna Wireless Society, they had sort of a troll guy, and they just asked all the club members to ignore them and not to acknowledge them, and because that's kind of what they're looking for. I'll ID AB3KC. One final thought on family radio service. My kids were using it, and somebody else came in there and started saying corny jokes, and I heard my wife sort of groan on the air, and I was thinking to myself, well, he's probably happy with himself because he got a response. So I think it's just like on the internet, one of the best things to do other than fox hunt is just not feed the troll. So with that, I'll send it back to you, Wayne. AB9FJ, AB3KC.
Yes, good advice. And I think maybe we're streaming now. Yes, good, great. And yes, that is like a good advice there. Don't feed the troll. Doesn't always work, but it's probably the best we can do. And so, interesting anecdotes there, Colin. Next on my list here, DL6MHC, Mike in Germany.
Yeah, this is Delta Lima 6, Mike Hotel Charlie. Name here is Micah, and the screen name on the SDF is OD Oscar Delta India Echo. And yeah, sorry for being late. I really forgot about the internet, and then I thought about it, tuned in, and now I'm here. So good, good morning, good night, good day, whatever, and wherever you live, to you all. And that's an interesting topic. repeater policing. Well, I didn't experience experience much of interference so far. We have several repeaters here I can access, and a few smaller ones I'm using, and there's a big repeater cluster, and this repeater cluster has a huge range, so the probability that there are interferers is a lot bigger there. And I heard that they had to fight with such people, and you can't. They try to track them down. They told me they already tracked down people by measuring the field strength and triangulation and stuff like this. And in the end, when they had tracked the person down, they reported it to the Bundesnetzagentur, which is the FCC here, and then and then they did the legal steps. You can't do this here by your own. And as Colin said, I've been taught that it's the best to ignore people, because why are they doing this? They want attention, and if you don't give them attention, then you're fighting them the best, I think. Even commenting on the repeater is a bad thing to talk about this person. I think it's the best to ignore it, and not to comment it or pay attention to this person. And I think most of the time the problem dissolves itself. But for the time I have my license, I never experienced any people who try to interfere. I have no experience with this, but I think the best idea is to just ignore it, and if it's unbearable, or if other people are affected in some way, like kids or whatever, then you can track them down and report them to the Bundesnetzagentur-FCC. That's all for me. Back to you, Wayne. Back to NetControl, and thank you very much for hosting the net.
Okay, thank you for joining us again, Michael. We've missed you. Perhaps I should have said this earlier, I can think of at least two broad categories that we're talking about here. One is the obviously malicious, like the anonymous kerchunkers, the ones who dump unmodulated carrier on another station to try to silence them or jam them. That kind of activity is just plain illegal and a violation of government regulation of radio. And that's where we get, in the United States, we get the FCC involved, and it can be a very serious thing. But short of that, there are behaviors that are uncivil or unpolite, just monopolizing the repeater, for example. We have one repeater in town here where I live. It's a very nice repeater. It has a very large footprint. It's been a trend in the United States here that a lot of repeaters have been not utilized very much. And this one suffered that. It was very quiet, and the guy who owns it, and he was feeling kind of what's the word I'm looking for here, unappreciated, or here he was doing all this work to keep this very good repeater on the air, and nobody was using it. So when a group of hams from a neighboring community got kicked off of the repeater in that community, they came to him and said, "Hey, can we use your repeater?" And he said, don't violate any regulations, and you're welcome. he's probably just very happy that his repeater is getting some use now. But some of us here are listening to, we kind of think of it as our repeater because it's in our community and it's been here for a long time. These people from outside our community are on it all the time, and they're talking politics and social issues, and they're a particular political end of the political spectrum. Let's just leave it that way. So they've pretty much made it an unpleasant repeater to hang out on. Let me reset. But they've not done anything illegal. They've not violated any FCC regulations. In fact, they're kind of what's the word I'm looking for here? You know, they make sure that they identify all the time, and I think there might have been a few local hams who have been kind of messing with them, doing things like dumping some unmodulated carrier on them, that kind of thing. So. Because it's a private repeater, it's not the club repeater. The club has no jurisdiction, shall we say, to say anything about it. And the owner of the repeater, well, I haven't heard him say anything about it. I don't think he's crazy about the nature of the conversations that are going on. But, as I said, he's just happy that his repeater is being used. So, anyway, I've gone on long enough. Who else is on my list here? VK2DY, Robert, you've probably been waiting for your chance. Go ahead now.
Hey, good morning. This is Robert, Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee in Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales. 20 degrees Celsius, sun is shining, sky is blue. Well, you know, repeaters, at least the repeaters around me here in Sydney, are dead. We would love to have some issues of people having overused them or anything, but unfortunately repeaters are dead. The ham population declining and the repeaters unused. But if you go out onto things like networks and that, I remember yesterday, or was it the day before? Anyway, it was a couple days ago. Trying to get onto a network called Freestar, which is a British network, but they're hooked up all over the world. And they had three people on that network, and they were just, one person would quit, and the next person would pick up, and the next person would pick up, and they no space, no gaps whatsoever to allow people, anybody, to get a word in edgewise. And this is, you know, this is, it's got repeaters, it's got all sorts of stuff connected worldwide. So I don't know what they ended up doing about that, but I know there was a number of complaints about these people just sort of monopolizing a major resource to hold a three-way conversation. Anyway, you also see that sometimes on some of the talk groups, VKDMR, talk group 5 sometimes, and 505 sometimes have issues like that. But again, you know, the local repeaters, I don't think there's a whole lot of issues anymore with just repeaters. VK2DY, back to Nick.
Okay, thank you, Robert. So I think I've come to everybody on the list here, so it's time to see. Well, I don't see any conferences linked to us, so I don't think there's any other source of new check-ins. So I guess this is a call for rechecks or any other comments from those who have already checked in.
VK6PQQ with some comments.
Okay, go ahead, Reg.
Okay, first of all, a lot of folks don't quite understand licensing. But as you know, in Canada, all amateur licenses are a federal situation, and that brings in the RCMP. Now, I was an examiner and part of the Department of Communications when I was with the Air Cadets. So I start out a net on simplex. Then repeaters came into effect, and that's where we had our problem. So our TechNet, we had seven people that were working in the background. And we had meetings just about every day on Simplex. Everybody had a portable and a Yagi and so on and so forth, and we practiced fox hunting. And of course it did at times pay off, because when repeaters came in, jamming took effect. Now in Toronto, Ontario, they had such a problem that they lost 7 repeaters. The owners and the clubs, etc., on the repeaters were getting jammed, and all sorts of malicious things happening. So the repeaters, the owners just took it off the air, which is a shame. Now these people that get on here and just gab and carry on and cause malicious keying up and jamming and so on and so forth, we took it upon ourselves to fox hunt. And as I say, we did track down some of the folks that were causing problems. And as I say, RCMP and a few of us, we knocked on the door of this individual, and he was quite surprised. But yeah, he ended up with a $10,000 fine and all his equipment confiscated. So if things like that happen, you do have to, well, we call it taking the bull by the horn. And it seemed to work. So if they wanted attention, they got it.
Ah, as I think they say in Australia, good on you, mate. That's really a cool way to address that issue there. Yeah. I know that we've had some fox hunts like that down here. Not so much for bad ham radio operators, but I know we've had a couple of FM broadcast band pirates that local hams have fox hunted to track down. And I don't think we've ever called in the FCC, but usually just the site, you know, some guy running a little pirate FM station looks out his window and he sees all these guys walking around with antennas pointing at him, probably gets the fear of God and decides, well, you know, maybe I'll find another hobby. So the station goes off the air, and it's not a problem anymore. The thing about hams, well, at least some of them are savvy enough to know to only be doing this kind of thing perhaps when they're mobile or very intermittently. So that's why I cannot think of any good cases of where we have tracked down an errant ham who's been doing interference. Maybe we're just lucky that we haven't had many of them. We do have plenty of fox hunters in the area, so if we did get one of those guys, I think we would have a good chance of tracking him down. But I'd rather not have to do that. Let's just have fox hunting as a recreation rather than an actual thing. So, do we have any other rechecks or any other comments? Or Reg, do you have anything to add?
I'll recheck.
Okay, go ahead, Colin.
Well, at the potential risk of being out of the ordinary, am I allowed to give a shout-out to the SDFers who are listening to the live stream? Thank you, Wayne, for streaming live, and everybody in calm, AB3KC.
Oh, was that it? Just shouting out to those who are listening? Yes. I don't know what happened there. For the last several weeks, the gate that goes from Echolink to Anon Radio has not been working. And it wasn't working at the beginning of the net today, but something happened in the middle and it suddenly started working. So whatever happened, yay. And so hello all you out there in Anon Radio, in comm, or listening wherever. Thank you for that, Colin. And looking at my little dashboard here, I see a new call sign has popped up. Victor Kilo 6, Golf, India Alpha. And I don't recognize that call sign, but it might have been in here before. But in case you are mystified by who we are, what we're doing here, this is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net, and it's probably time for me to just go ahead and repeat the opening prologue of the net here. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, which stands for Super Dimension Fortress. It's an anime thing. If you are not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system, and you can learn more about it by directing your web browser to sdf.org. And because we have a lot of hams who are members of the SDF community, we decided to have a ham club. Why not, right? And if you have a ham club, you need a net. So we're scattered all over the world, so it's kind of hard to have our net on a single repeater. So we do it on Echolink. And VE7KI, Michael, has made his conference here, the TechLink conference, available to us for our net. So that's what's going on here. Our topic this week has been repeater policing. How do you keep activity on your local repeaters civil and polite and, you know, safe for work, we might say. So, VK6GIA, if you would like to check in and have a comment on our topic. If not, that's okay as well.
AB9FJ, VK6 Golf India Alpha. Originally, my call was VK6 Foxtrot Charlie India Papa, but I've had a vanity call since and upgraded to GIA. Bit of a story with that one. I didn't think I was going to get it, but my late father's call in the post-war years, actually in the war years and the post-war years, was Golf 8 Italy Alpha. So I requested GIA and I got it. So yeah, quite amazing. My old man was a CW operator. He was a Sparks in the Navy. He was in the RNVR, the Royal Naval Voluntary Reserve. And he told some interesting stories about being torpedoed at sea during World War II. But he lived to see another day. Yeah, anyhow, on your topic, I'll just put a quick break in. From VK6GIA. Repeaters. Well, I live in the town of Byford. We call it Byford. And Byford is southeast the city of Perth. And it is next to a small hill chain, which is called the Darling Scarp or the Darling Fault. It's actually a fault line that's dormant, but it's never moved in the last million years or so, I don't think. Not that I was around to experience it. But the nearest repeater to me is quite a way away, which is 146700, which is, and the name of the place has gone right out of my head, but it's near a town called Kalamunda. And there is a second repeater down there, 146750. Funnily enough, neither of which get used a great deal. They are purely 2-meter repeaters. They have nothing else hooked onto them. Although if you have D-Star, I think D-Star is there as well. But it's very interesting, isn't it? But in America, you seem to have repeaters on every corner, which is absolutely excellent to find people who are so dedicated to supply the equipment and to maintain it. A big well done there. Anyhow, morning time here, 8:40 in the morning. Clear blue sky going up to about 80 degrees today. It was a lot hotter yesterday. Humidity outside is currently 65%. A little bit sticky, but going to be a great day. Sitting here in shorts and a camo blue T-shirt. There you go. VK6GIA.
Okay, fine business, Joshua. Yes, I recognize Fox Charlie India Papa. You've checked in with us before. So that the call new call sign there, that threw me. So welcome back, and thanks for your story about the repeaters and your area there. So I guess I'm ready for any other, well, I don't see any new stations joining us, but any other rechecks or comments, please call now.
Sorry, VK6GIA with a further comment.
Q with another comment.
Okay, I have Joshua and Reg. Joshua first, then Reg.
Okay. Well, Joshua Whopper is merely my nickname, which I use around the Google network. And if you've never seen it before, I wonder if you remember the movie War Games, where it was taken at NORAD, and they had a war simulating machine called Whopper, Whiskey Oscar Papa Romeo. And a young boy was able to get into Whopper, and he started a simulated war, and the password for the machine was Joshua. Well, my real name is Peter. So there you go. That's one for the books. Over.
Okay. All right. I guess I was kind of not paying close attention to that. Yes, I'm familiar with that movie. It's very popular among programmers and people who are into computers. So, all right, well, yeah, if I looked in my log file, I probably would have found that your name was Peter instead of Joshua. Sorry about that, but, ha-ha, funny joke. So, let's see, Reg, it's your turn.
And that's how easy we can get confused on amateur radio. Now, we had a situation here on one of our local repeaters. Some folks in there carrying on in different languages and swearing and carrying on. And a bunch of hams got together with Yagis and portables, and tracking was in effect. Turns out these folks that were causing the problem were a bunch of tow truck drivers. They obtained radios from, the north. The country started with a C. So they got these portables, and it turns out that they were all programmed up for different frequencies, and of course one of them was our repeater here in Western Australia. We don't have a FCC or a DOC or whatnot. It's called the AMC, the Australian Media, whatever. They departed from Perth many years ago, and they're over in the east, so it takes a while to get anybody over here. So the hams took it upon themselves to do some fox hunting. And after a while, it was found out that, hey, these guys are truck drivers, tow truck drivers, and so on and so forth. And by the time the AMC got over here, the folks here had tracked down these people, only to find out that these portables were purchased from China. And, they just put in every frequency they could think of. And, of course, the tow truck drivers decided that, hey, we'll just use this because it's got the range we need. And, they were tracked down and the portables were confiscated, but there's where policing takes in. And, our amateur license is federal, so we don't get the locals involved. We get the federal people involved. And if they want to get on the air and cause all sorts of disruptions, we'll give them the attention they need and confiscate them. So there's where you take the bull by the horn and just act. He who hesitates is lost.
Yeah, so true, Reg. Yeah. I've heard stories of, fishermen and taxi cab drivers and, all kinds of people who buy, cheap radios from China. They don't really know what they're doing, but it seems to work, so they'll go around, dispatching their cabs or dispatching their fishing fleet on the ham frequencies. Yeah. And it can be kind of difficult to track them down when they're, on the open sea. So, yeah, it's a constant struggle there. All right, so let's see. I noticed that several stations have dropped out of the conference here. We're down to just four of us. Do we have any more comments before I wrap the net?
AK6BQQ with another story.
Go ahead, Reg.
I was working for Motorola at the time in Hamilton, and one of our customers, he was a taxi owner. They had a duplex transmit station. And, of course, the taxis would call in on one frequency. He'd call back out on another. And it seemed that there was a radio involved that could unsquelch there was a button on the front of the radio that you could push, and it would make a noise, and they'd transmit, and all the dispatcher would get was squelch noise. So this went on for quite a while, and I got a phone call regards to it. So I phoned Industry Canada, and I phoned a friend over at the RCMP, and I said, look, we're going to do some fox hunting. We did that very thing. I was on the mountain brow in Hamilton, and mobile. We tracked it down to signals coming from a parking area at a mall, and on different frequencies, simplex, we were able to communicate with the particular people we needed. And yes, I got a bearing on this, I got a bearing on that, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, it turned out we had four RCMP officers, two from the Department of Communications, myself. We tracked it down to four mobiles sitting, and they were taxi cab drivers, foreigners, and we walked right up to the antenna. We caught all four of them. So RCMP arrested them right off the bat. Industry Canada, we took them all into the van that we had. You never seen four people so excited in your life. We transported them all back to the taxi cab owner. And here's the four people that were causing your problems. Here's the radios, and this is why it happened. But it worked out pretty good. They all got suspended, fined, and RCMP, I'm not sure what the end result was, but they didn't work for the taxi company anymore.
All right, that's a nice story, Reg. Glad it worked out so well there. Ah, if only they all worked out that well. Okay, so do we have any more comments before I close the net? Okay, so this concludes this week's SCF Amateur Radio Club net at, where are we now, 0049. It's been a while since we've been more than 30 minutes, I think. Zulu, if you would like to continue the conversation, I think the AfterNet at DMR Talk Group 31650, I think it still exists, but I don't know. I know we're in comm in the Anon Radio Room, so you can find us there. This is Net Control Station, AB9FJ, saying 73.
73, Wayne. Yeah, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. VK60QQ.
Indeed, Reg. Keep on doing it. AB9FJ.
Well, I can tell you, in our nets that we had in Hamilton and the repeaters that we got all hooked up, and then they hooked up the internet, I take it in mind that if people are wanting attention, I find give them the attention they need, and then we clear the channels and put it back onto regular amateur use, where all the nice folks are.
Ha-ha, yeah, the attention that maybe they weren't expecting, yeah.
You know, you can only ignore things so often, then action takes place. A lot like our political people, you know. All talk, no action. Doesn't work.